And this theme continues in the next chapter, in chapter 8, towards the end. The chapter begins, though, with a discussion about merit. Again, we're on the subject of punya, merit. We've seen that before. Suddenly, the Buddha asks Subhuti a question. Let's read that question. The Lord then asked, "What do you think, Subhuti? If a son or daughter of good family had filled this world system of 1,000 million worlds with the 7 precious things and then gave it as a gift to the Tathagatas, arhats, fully enlightened ones, would they, on the strength of that, beget a great heap of merit?" Subhuti replied, "Great, O Lord, great, O Wellgone, would that heap of merit be. And why? Because the Tathagata spoke of the heap of merit as a non-heap. That is how the Tathagata speaks of a heap of merit." The 7 precious things are a traditional Indian list of what is most precious and valuable. Gold, silver, lapis lazuli, coral, gems, diamonds and pearls. So the Buddha's evoking someone who offers up to the Buddha's such vast, extraordinarily vast quantities of this incredible material wealth. And this would, of course, traditionally be regarded as extraordinarily meritorious if you did this. The merit that you would gain would be extraordinary. And behind this, there is the notion that the holier a person is, the more realized a person is, the greater the merit redounds upon the giver. Buddhas and great and enlightened beings or holy persons, the Aryans, are sometimes described as fields of merit, punya kshetras. And the idea is that you sow your merit in these fields. You give to holy, exalted people, and it has a powerful effect on you. Seems a very strange idea to us. Even can sound very materialistic. And I think it can be treated like that in the East, certainly, quite a bit. And perhaps a bit hard for us to relate to. But I think what it brings up actually is the whole practice of puja, the whole practice of making offerings, of offering pleasing things to the Buddha as the embodiment of your highest spiritual values, offering flowers, candles, incense, and other things. There is, of course, a powerful symbolism here. The symbolism is really that what you're offering is yourself. You're offering yourself. You're offering what you most value to what you value most. You're offering the valuable things in material life to what you value most in spiritual life. And the idea is, in making these offerings, doing these offerings, you're making space for those values in yourself. There's sort of all sorts of symbolism to do with hospitality. There's the whole idea of making offerings is like making offerings to the honoured guest in Indian society. There's ideas behind offerings of really cherishing and valuing your spiritual ideals. It also has the effect of expanding you, opening you up. You also find in Buddhist texts, in Buddhist literature, that offerings are very, very often the expressions of profound gratitude. You're so moved by the Buddha, so moved by the teaching, so moved by your contact with the Buddhas as representing that higher dimension. It's so precious to you, what you feel that you've been given, that you just want to give in return. You just want to give back. So puja is actually a giving back to the Buddhas because of what they've given us. And, you know, through a puja, you one of the things you can do is to contact your gratitude. And in the East, offering practices are very, very popular and really seen as a powerful practice. People will spend hours and hours offering, you know, lamps and incense and flowers, all kinds of things, to Buddha images, to stupas. Aesthetically, it's very pleasing as well. It can be very pleasing. in the Vajrayana tradition, you also have this notion of the mandala offering, where you offer an image, a symbol of the cosmos. The symbolism here is that if you possessed the cosmos, if you possessed the entire world, if it was yours, the only thing you'd want to do with it would be to give it to the Buddha. Because in giving you the Dharma, the Buddha's giving you the most valuable thing. So you just want to give everything that you could potentially own, as it were. Not just your entire sense experience, but also your inner archetypal world. It's all offered up, opened up to the Buddha. In the Tantric tradition, they take this even further with the practice of chud, which is a Tibetan word which corresponds to chedika, as in Vajracchedika. It literally means cutting, chud. And here you imagine giving up your body to the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. You imagine that you kind of cut your body up and it transform it into nectar, and that's given to the Buddhas. And this chud practice is very much associated with the perfection of wisdom. And the Heart Sutra is a kind of chud practice, recitation of it. The real offering to the Buddhas, the symbolism here, is the offering of egolessness. That's the real offering. So obviously, such self-giving, such offering expands one. And that's what merit really is. Remember when we talked about merit, what merit really is that expansion of your being and that generation of a positive spiritual momentum for the benefit, not just of yourself, but of the whole world.